we get started, just a few announcements. If you've not subscribed to our YouTube channel, if you have not already, please be sure to do so. And if you want to get the alerts when a new video is available, be sure to click the bell. And that way you can make sure that you get all the latest and update of our Bible study on Wednesday nights, when videos start, all that good stuff. Also, this month, we're taking up a special offering for Sox Place. Sox Place is located in Denver, Colorado. If you would like to give, we can, we'll have a link in the description that you can give that way, or you can drop a check in the offering bag each Sunday. Just put Sox Place in the memo, and we'll make sure that it gets to where it's going. Also, be sure to join us this Sunday. You don't want to miss it. We started a new series called Renew, and we'll be continuing this series. So we'd love for you to either join us here in person or on YouTube live. Also, mark your calendars for a great event that's coming up on August 29th. We're going to be hosting our first family fishing derby. It's going to start at 9 a.m. We're going to have prizes. This is going to be a great event. This event, it's fully stocked and endorsed by the Arkansas Game and Fish. You don't want to miss this event. Make plans to join us. We want you to be here, be at that location. It's going to be great. There's more details coming. You can check out our Facebook page to find out all the details about that event. So tonight we're continuing our series on the book of Judges. Tonight and next Wednesday will be our last on this series, and we'll start a new series. But here's something to think about. Relativism. Relativism, it teaches that all truth is relative. There's no such thing as an objective truth. Relativism says that just as one person may favor the color green over the color red, and neither are wrong, but both are right, so too, who are we to say what is right or wrong in a society? And if you want to know what society looks like when everyone buys into that philosophy, look no further than the last couple of chapters of Judges. Man, it goes off the chain here. Judges chapter 17, it starts out with a man named Micah. He wants his mother's money, and so he steals it. Already he has broken two of the Ten Commandments. It seems likely that she initially asked him if he knew what happened to the money, and guess what? He lied. And when she utters a curse on whoever stole the money, this dude goes scared. I mean, he's frightened. Micah is frightened. So he confesses, and he returns the money to her. He doesn't do this because it's the right thing to do, but he does it to save his own skin. The common motive in a society ruled by relativism is self-interest. Micah's mom responds by saying she'll give it all to the Lord, but she isn't telling the truth either and only gives 200 pieces of silver. Worse still, she uses her offering to have an image carved and an idol cast, which she then places in her son's house. So can you imagine it, if you can? This is a total and complete disregard for what God has ordained. And what does Micah do? Well, he gladly accepts the gift. Sure, Mom, I'll take the gift. And then he gets some more idols and has an ephod made and commissions one of his sons as his own personal priest. I mean, everything in these five verses of chapter 17 of Judges is a violation of God's law. The disrespect of a parent, theft, the graven image, the idol worship, the ephod, even turning the home into a place of worship, all violations of God's law. But in our world, this sounds fine, doesn't it? So what if he wants to worship God at home in his own way? I mean, who are we to judge what's right or wrong? When you remove truth, however, you end up with people treating other people as less than human. Does that sound familiar? Is this just a problem in Micah's family? Or is it a problem in the society of God's people? Now, go to Judges chapter 19. We encounter a Levite priest and his concubine. One day as he's traveling with her, they stop in a city called Gibeah. For the night, they're just going to stop for the night within the area of Israel assigned to the tribe of Benjamin. And there an old man takes them in for the night, but a gang within that city pounds on the old man's house, demanding that he turn the Levite over to them to be raped. To appease the mob, they shove the Levite's concubine out the door instead. That's terrible, isn't it? But this gang then rapes her all night long, leaving her lifeless body on the doorstep in the morning. The Levite puts her on his donkey and takes her home, where he proceeds to dismember her body, cutting it up into 12 pieces and mailing the pieces to the 12 tribes of Israel. Guess what happens then? The 11 tribes, they get mad. They say, "We've never seen anything like this. What is the world coming to?" They're going nuts. "Justice must be done, and done swiftly. We want it now," you know. The Levite gives them a twisted version of the truth, and no one cares because people only care about what seems right to them. Now, that doesn't sound familiar, does it? We hear this all the time, it seems like. We don't live in a world where when something tragic or horrific happens, we get upset, pass judgment, and demand vengeance before getting all the facts, do we? Think for yourself. These 11 tribes decide the tribe of Benjamin must pay. So what do? They raise an army and they go to Benjamin and they demand that Benjamin hand over the guilty parties. But true to the philosophy of relativism, who are the other tribes to say that what took place was wrong? So what do? They go to war. And I mean, it's an ugly war. And after 3 days of fighting, 65,000 people die before the tribe of Benjamin is defeated. Now, Judges chapter 20, verses 46 through 48, it gives us a little glimpse into how this civil war ended. In the aftermath of the war, another problem emerges. The tribe of Benjamin needs women if they are to continue to exist. And the other 11 tribes have sworn not to give any of their daughters to Benjamin. So what do? They raid a city untouched by the war, and they kill everyone except the virgin girls. But that isn't enough. So in Judges chapter 21, verses 23 through 25, they snatch even more young women. And this is a completely broken society. The people of God have fallen victim to civil war. And then when they realize the error of their ways, they resort to murder and human trafficking. Does this sound familiar? The very last words of Judges are this. This is found in chapter 21, verse 25. It says, "Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." It is both an ending and an introduction. Welcome to the world in which everyone does what they think is right. Does that sound familiar? Everybody wants to do what they want it their way. They want it because that's what it makes them feel good. That's what they want. Man, it seems like that we could almost see some of exactly what's happened in Judges here. Now, not quite as violent in some cases, but there are some cases that are. But a society without truth results in an environment of ignorance, hatred, and violence. The implication seems to be that if Israel had a human king, this king could effectively communicate to people how they were to live, what they were to do, and why they should do it that way. The impulse that rulership outside oneself was correct, but trying to fulfill that through a fallible human leader inevitably failed. We know from ancient history, from recent history, and from our own lives that human leaders can do some good, but you cannot fully legislate morality. A mere law given by a government will not make bad people choose to do good things. I'm going to say that again. A mere law given by a government will not make bad people choose to do good things. We need the intervention of the one true King, Jesus Christ. Here's a question for you. Does your life reflect the integrity that comes from adhering to God's unchanging principles, or does it reflect the chaos that comes from relativism? Remember, relativism teaches that all truth is relative. There is no such thing as an objective truth. So what is Jesus to you? That's another question to you. What is Jesus to you? Is he your Savior but not your King? If you were to use a tool such as BibleGateway.com or some other search Bible or something, the words Lord and Savior, if you were to search those in the Gospels, you would find something interesting. In the Bible, Jesus is called Lord more often than Savior. When you try to make Jesus your Savior but not your King, then you reject his authority and you end up in the realm of judges, doing what is right in your own eyes. Here's the truth, guys. We've got to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in every area of your life and recognize that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. That's found in John chapter 14, verse 6. It's important that we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, that we make him our King. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you, God, that we can come here and be in this place. God, I pray that you would touch the hearts and lives of those that are listening, that are participating today. God, I pray that you'd move in their lives, move in their hearts, God. Help us to make Jesus the Lord of our life, the King of kings and the Lord of lords over all things. Help us to make him first in our life, that he has total control, that we don't feel like we can make whatever truth be truth, but that he's the only truth, the only way, and the only life. And we can't come to the Father except through him, and that's the only way we can get there. And God, we give you praise and we give you glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to pray for our country this week. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that we're hearing rumors about, well, this is true, or this is true, or this ain't true, or this ain't true, or whatever, or he said this, or she said this, or they said this, or this group said this. We hear a lot of that going on. We just need to pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our president, our governors. Pray for anybody that is over us. Let's just pray for them. And let's just believe that God is going to do a work and do a miracle in what's taking place. Our kids are getting ready to go back to school. People are afraid. People are worried. People are scared. And no matter what you and I believe is going on, one thing is for sure is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And we just need to put our trust and our faith in him and believe that God is in control and God is going to keep us protected and touch us and minister to us. So make that your prayer this week. Pray that God would calm the fears of those that are out there. Before we go, I just want to remind you once again a couple of things. If you would like to help with Food Pantry is this Saturday. Be here at the church at 9 a.m. if you would like, or if you would like to help, and Food Pantry will start at 10. If you are out there and you're needing food this weekend, you can come by the church. We're going to have a good grocery sack for you to pick up. And we even have some chicken that we will give out first to the first hour. I don't even know how many. We got a bunch of, all our freezers are full. I know that. So we will give that out until it's gone. And so if you would like, need groceries, you can come by the church. We'll have a drive-through food pantry this Saturday at 10 o'clock. And so you can be here. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Have a great night. And we'll see you Saturday. If I don't see you Saturday, I'll see you Sunday. Good night.